Going, everyone. Welcome back to DND Outdoors. We took last week off because of Labor Day and the short week to get ready for this upcoming hunting season. Today on the show, we're going to give you a little East Coast, West Coast hunting outlook. Dustin's going to tell you guys what to expect out there on the East Coast. I'm going to talk about out here in the Southwest. Also, last time we did our product review on bison coolers, we really just talked about the tumblers and how great they are. But today, we are going to be talking about the actual coolers themselves and where to find them and why you should buy yourself a bison.
D&D Outdoors is brought to you by the Southwestern Outdoorsman. Visit the Southwestern Outdoorsman at www.southwesternoutdoorsman.com. It is also brought to you by Headline Outdoors. Headline Outdoors, visit them online at www.headlineoutdoors.com.
How are you doing today, Dustin?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. You know, it's out here in Arizona. It's the last week of the dove season, and we are now finally cooling off. We're in the 90s today. Hasn't been over 102 days so far, so fall is almost here.
Yeah, I think dove season here is midstream, just kicking off last weekend, something like that, but the last few days has been like 70 and no humidity.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. Is that good, the doves flying?
I honestly, I don't do it. I don't have anywhere to dove hunt, so I have never done it.
Gotcha. Yeah, here we get out pretty much just like hunting right before the sun comes up and when they start flying around and just attempt to shoot them out of the sky. I mean, it was my first time dove hunting last weekend, and it's a lot different from duck hunting. You got little fast birds you're trying to shoot. It definitely adds to the challenge, but I mean, doves, once you shoot them, they blend right into the ground.
Oh, yeah. You gotta have a dog, man.
But, yeah. Yeah, no, the dog I have, I had dreams of it being a hunting dog, but that didn't work out. Then my buddy's dog just eats the birds, so we don't really have much dogs here, but we found all of them, though.
Well, that's good.
So that's good. Yeah, so I'll be making some dove tortellini with a wine sauce, which we're going to have on one of the episodes on Headline Outdoors this year. But other than that, what is the hunting outlook looking like for you out on the East Coast this year?
We are getting ready. Youth season will pick up at the end of this month, which is 2 weeks from this weekend. So as soon as that's over, it's bow season will kick in, and we're in full swing after that.
Full swing. Are you expecting to get a lot of big bucks this year, or?
It's hit and miss looking at the trail cameras. We still have them in the bachelor groups, of course, but it's a couple big ones coming through. And then you check it next week and nothing. So I don't know where they're going. But me personally, I ain't got a problem popping a doe.
Yeah.
Last few years, that's all I shot. So
meat is meat at the end of the day.
That is correct.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we can't shoot does here in Arizona. They only have, I think, two doe hunts, and those are for the youth hunts, just to get the youth involved. The doe hunts are up on the Kaibab, which is, like, one of the top three places, I guess, in the world to hunt mule deer, and that's just to manage the bucks up there more than anything. And, I mean, out here, it's been a dry, dry summer, so, I mean, you got to find that water and just sit it for, you know, your deer, your elk. But, I mean, look it on Facebook this year. I've seen more quality-sized deers than I have in the past few years, actually. So I think the wet winter that we had this past winter really helped the antler growth. Because I'm not – I mean, they're pulling out coos deers, you know, on this archery – the over-the-counter archery season that we have right now. And it's just been – I mean, I've seen some big coos deer, which you usually don't get until the – late rifle season or the rut bow hunt at the end of the year, beginning of 2021.
And they won't let you shoot does?
Nope, you cannot. You have to have a... So for Arizona, for those of you that haven't hunt, you have to get drawn, actually, for deer if you want to rifle hunt them. If not, we have archery season, which is the first 2 weeks or first 2 weeks of September, and then the last week of August, and then also it's about the last 2 weeks of December, and then through mid-January, and that's your archery season. But that doesn't cover the whole state. So there are some units in the state where, you know, the early hunts, they are not a thing. And then the same thing, the December hunts, it varies by unit. Not every unit's open year round for bow hunt. But other than that, if you want a deer by a rifle, you have to put in for the draw and get drawn for it.
It's something it's like you get does only for like a week, and then it goes back to either or. And then it's some counties that have started an earn a buck program to where, say you shoot a buck now, before you can shoot another buck, you actually have to shoot a doe.
Really? That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, Arizona is a very overmanaged state when it comes to deer, elk, everything. I mean, they dropped, I want to say, 700 to 1,000 tags they got rid of last year for elk alone. So, I mean, it is just very, game and fish is very managed. And it's people that get drawn every year are really in the low density units where there's a maybe 1 to 5% chance of even seeing an animal, and then tagging out less than 2, which is wild. But
I honestly don't even know how many tags we get now. Being a landowner, I don't have to purchase tags. I think it was last time that I remember looking, it was like 2 that were either sex, and then it was a couple of them that were antlerless only. I think it might have been one that was antlered.
Yeah, I mean, I wish even if you own land in Arizona that you could hunt, you still have to get drawn for that unit to even hunt your own land. It's just a wild management that they have out here.
You have to hunt your own property.
Yeah, you have to draw to hunt your own property.
That is crazy.
Yeah, they don't offer landowner tags. I mean, you can rent your property out if you want for a fee for some of that got drawn in there. But other than that, I mean, the management in Arizona, I mean, obviously we don't have nearly as many deer as you guys do, you know, when you get to the Midwest or even the East Coast. But everything here is draw. If you can't get it over the counter, you can only draw. I think the only over-the-counter tags here are, you can get elk over-the-counter tags, but those are in those really low-density units where, I mean, I think maybe one person a year might tag out, and that's if you're, like, you're hunting, which is really weird for these elk. Like, you're in the desert. Like, there's no forest, no, like, shrub forest. It's open desert. They're up in, like, the salt thickets by a lake called Apache Lake, which is actually up towards the Arizona-Nevada border, up by Lake Havasu. And it's just they're just very hard units to even – I mean, you see an elk. If you talk to, like, some of the game wardens out there or, like, the park rangers, I mean, they pretty much just tell you, I mean, you're just spending that $120 to go camping.
That is so crazy.
Yeah. But, I mean, the management system, I guess, has worked out because, I mean, you don't really see too many small deers or elk being pulled out usually. I mean, Unit 1 on the Arizona-New Mexico border, I mean, almost every, seems like, 2 or 3 years, there's a new world record elk coming out of there.
Now, South Carolina has it set up. The last time I talked to them, I put in for an alligator tag.
That'd be fun.
It was $5 for me to put in for the tag. They talking about it. You have to pick your zone and this and that. And they were talking about how since the whole Swamp People shows come out, the increase in the tags went up. And they're talking, but they selling the putting in for the tag part, like something like 5,000 tags.
Jeez.
But they draw, and they're only putting out like a couple hundred.
So you have like less than a 10% chance of drawing a tag. Yeah.
But
Yeah.
You think 5,000 people times 5 hours putting in.
Yeah.
If you are drawn, it's another $200.
Yeah.
But you have to have a guide to take you. So you look at all the money there. They're talking about reintroducing elk doing that too. The last time I checked, been a couple of years.
Really? Yeah, it's getting. Hunting's becoming a very expensive sport. I know there's some states out west where, I believe next year they are increasing. I think it's. I want to say Utah. I'll get for next episode. I'll definitely do more research into that. But they're out of the resident. Their non-resident fees are going up like 40% for some species. So now you're looking at close to $1,000 tag if you draw. And that's on top of the $120 you have to pay just to get the, or $120 to $150 just hunting license you have to buy for those states to even put in for the states. And then the draw fees on top of it. So there's some states where you're in close to $200, $300 before you even get it put in for the animals. And I know, like, in states like Wyoming and Idaho, that when you put in, they actually charge your credit card. And then if you don't get drawn, they refund it. So, I mean, if you're looking to put in for a bighorn sheep tag or a mountain goat tag or something along those lines, you better have an extra $1,500 to $2,000 just you can let sit on your credit card, because that's going to be pulled out of your account on your credit card until you don't get drawn.
Yeah, I'd heard that.
Which is just...
That's kind of crappy.
Yeah, I mean, because I really want to get a mountain goat. I mean, I can only really put in Utah right now because I'm not trying to just have $2,000 and paying that interest fee sitting on my credit card for a couple weeks, hoping that I get drawn. But then it's the same way. You have to get a guide, and just becoming a very expensive hobby to have.
Yeah, it's... For me, it's cheaper to go to one of the preserves in between here and out there for, like, say, an elk.
Yeah.
I think Wilderness Hunting Preserve was where Adam and I went for his 6th birthday, where he shot his pig. I think a cow elk was $2,000 there.
Sheesh. Yeah, that's expensive. I mean, but we don't – in Arizona, we don't have – hunting reserves. I mean, there's a couple, but they, I mean, they're just pigs, like you guys hunt, and then like the sheep species, like the Hawaiian sheeps and the Texas sheeps and all those Texas dolls, and but there's really no, like, where you can go and like, oh, I want to go hunt an elk.
They had, you know, on they the had cow elks, they had the bull elks, bison, water buffalo, those fallow deer, axis deer. They hit all kinds of stuff that was running around.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish they had something like that out here in Arizona. That'd be a lot of fun to do. And then, like, when they get the bisons, I mean, they go so quickly, it seems like, that you have to really be on top of the ranches to know when they get the bisons in. But, I mean, it'll definitely an interesting time in the hunting world. And it's definitely seeing some of these, you know, landowner tags this year because of COVID, that they're going for higher than what they usually are, because all the people that had their Africa hunts or their Alaska hunts and so on and so forth, their world hunts, you know, they had all this money saved up to go on these hunts, but now they can't even leave the country to get to those countries in order to go for their hunts.
It's, I've been trying to get some fishing stuff booked, and the guides are telling me, you know, it's, everything's booked up. I've been trying with one guy we went with last year. I've been trying to get with him since like July, and he's, the first day I could get open was like the end of October.
Sheesh, that is just wild. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, the states are definitely making their conservation money this year. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun, and like, and it's fun because, you know, to see that these states that, you know, aren't really hunter friendly, such as like New Jersey and along those lines, they're actually trying to get the hunting fees that you're getting to go into their state budget. But I mean, it just is amazing to me that these governors of these states that are elected officials don't even know what the Pittman-Robinson Act is. That, I mean, it's essentially illegal and they can't do it. But now they want to increase all these hunting fees, thinking that they are going to be able to get some of the money to help fund state programs.
I mean, this is just my opinion, but over the years here, I can remember I could get a license and it would get everything, like $1,250.
Yeah.
And now you're looking at $150 for me to get everything now. And it seems like they don't do as much. It used to be they would, the money they took in, they would put back out to help preserve things, boat ramps, docks, whatever. And here lately, it's like everything is just, they just want more money.
Just stuff in their pockets.
Yeah.
That is a big problem. It's eventually going to become to a point where they're going to keep increasing these fees so much that they're actually going to start losing money in the long run, because it's not the people that have been putting in for year on year, it's just not going to become a feasible thing for them to do, you know, especially, you know, if you have a family, you're paying more than if you're going to go on a family vacation somewhere to go hunt.
That's exactly what they're saying. Now, every year, if you look at it, it's a decline in the sales of the license areas. And the license sales are down, so we got to make that money up, so let's bump the price up more.
Yeah, instead of maybe lowering it or bring it back down to where it was 5 years ago, and then, you know, you will get that money right back that you're losing, essentially, in a 2-3 year span.
Yeah.
And I think it's just becoming now where the economics and everybody just wants to stuff their pockets and getting greedy. And in the long run, it's not just going to hurt the hunters, it's going to hurt the wildlife, because once they start losing money, you aren't going to be able to put, especially out west, water catchment systems in and, you know, all that good stuff to help preserve and the land that the hunters are essentially paying for, to be sure the animals are still there for future generations.
It's crazy.
Yes. That it is. You're just waiting for that fishing trip, or are you even going to do it?
Oh, I've already put the deposit down on that one.
Hopefully it's not too cold.
Well, that's it. Striped bass, stripers, they love.
Oh, you're going striper fishing? Yeah, so alrighty.
They're saying that's going to be prime time.
Gotcha. Get some big ones. Get some trophy stripers out. That'll be a lot of fun.
It's a Hopewell, Virginia. Is known for some monster catfish.
Okay. Like
50 plus pound catfish. And he was trying to get with the guy there, and he said he's booked up. He can only do so many guides per month, and he was booked up through the first of the year.
Wow.
So,
I mean, it's a good time to be a guide, that's for sure. You're probably never going to see this influx of cash coming in for a while. You know, with everybody trying to get out and all this extra money to spend right now.
Exactly.
With everybody being stuck at home. Oh, man, yeah. Crazy world that we're living in now.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we're going to take a quick break here. Hear a word from our sponsor, The Anchor. And we will be right back to give you the Bison Cooler Review. As we said, The Anchor is the spot if you are looking to make a podcast. Definitely where we love using The Anchor. We put all our podcasts out to them, and, you know, we've got out on every major podcast platform plus some. So as we said, we're going to be talking now about the Bison Coolers. You know, as we said earlier, our first episode, we talked about, we did a Bison Cooler review, but we really just did a Bison Tumbler review and how great the tumblers were. We didn't get much into the coolers, but I mean, today, we're going to dig in on these coolers a little bit more. I know I have two. Dustin has two. I mean, these are just quality coolers. I was out. You listed earlier in our earlier episodes, me talking about my over-the-counter deer hunt and being out in the 100-plus degree desert. And, you know, brought my bisons out with me to hold my ice and all my food and stuff. I mean, the ice hardly melted. And the bisons have a doubler layer technology, and in between the layers they have actual insulation, which really helps keep the ice cool. You know, they say on their website, you know, that it'll keep ice up to 7 days. And I mean, if it can keep ice and barely have any meltage in that 110 plus degree weather, I mean, I would love to see the Bisons in cooler weather. I mean, what's your experience with those coolers?
Yeah, they keep ice for about a week on back of the truck for me during hunting season.
Yeah. Hey, and there's the ease. Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. Some lady come banging on the door. I didn't know what was going on.
Really?
Yeah, saying she was with the Census Bureau and she wanted to know what I knew about my neighbors. It's like, nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
If they ain't going to tell you, I don't know nothing.
Exactly. That's none of my business what my neighbors do.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness. The Bison coolers, I mean, just one heck of a cooler, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, again, we took the 25-quart one on the striped bass trip we did last year, and we put it right there on the boat with the rubber feet. Even the guide said, hey, man, that thing's pretty neat. It never slid around when he was driving around, nothing.
Yes, I mean, bison's mate for the outdoorsman, essentially.
That's when I first started working with them, that was what I had told them, that I am rough on items, and if it can withstand me, then it's a good product.
Yeah, I am the same exact way. I break more stuff coming. I think I come back with less stuff from my hunting trips because everything seems to break on me.
Yes.
When I'm out there. I mean, and then just the ease of those. Instead of just having the traditional cooler handles, having those rope handles.
Yes.
I mean, just being able to carry the bison by yourself if you have to, or just even with another person, it makes it 100 times more easier.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I love bisons. And I mean, overall, I mean, they're an American made product. They're made down in Texas. And I mean, everything about them is great. And just the wide range. If you know, you get your bison, you want to also be, they sell lid graphics. If you want to, you know, customize it towards your liking. They also have a kind of the, they have non slip lid covers that you can actually add on to them. And you'll be able to, as you said, sit on that boat and put your cup or your fishing equipment on, and you won't have to worry about sliding over or falling off and making a mess everywhere.
They even got the tops that you can put on to make a seat out of them, too.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, everything that you want, if you want to buy a bison cooler, you know, you can go over to the Southwestern Outdoorsman at www.southwesternoutdoorsman.com. You know, they've got all the different type of bison coolers from the 25 quarts all the way up to the 125 quarts. Every size in between, we got a bunch of the lid graphics and the non-slip graphics. And, you know, if you use code BISON at checkout, throw in free shipping for you guys. And it'll just be easy going and we'll get it delivered to you right away. We got all the different colors. What color coolers do you have?
Both of mine are the gray.
The gray? Gotcha. I have the light blue, and then also I have the gray one also, which I mean.
Then I topped them off with the Headline Outdoors logo. On the graphic.
Ooh, that's awesome.
I can post it.
Yeah, I don't have anything on mine yet, but I definitely need to get that going.
Oh, yeah, man. Things were nice, I mean, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, overall, great cooler. Some of the best coolers that, I mean, obviously we have used, and, you know, I'll never buy another different cooler company product. And, you know, you don't have to worry about spending $700-$800 like you would for some of the competing coolers that, you know, everybody kind of rants and raves about. And these are, from my experience of just having some friends that have those other brands, these ones are 10 times better than them.
Oh, yeah. Plus, if you have any questions or whatever, you email them, and they're always responding to you.
Yeah, they have the best customer service.
Yeah, it's times where I've caught the owner of the company replying to me saying, hey, this is what I'm looking for, this. Ain't you the owner? Yeah, but
yeah,
I'm here to help.
Yes, and I mean, that's, you just love seeing owners like that are just involved in with their company instead of just pawning it off onto someone else that they pay to do it. And I mean, Bison does also come with a lifetime warranty. So I mean, if you somehow manage to break your Bison, you just call them up and they'll get you a new one right away. But that is our show for today. Definitely give us a follow on Instagram at D&D Outdoors. What's our Facebook page, Dustin?
Facebook is D&D Outdoors Podcast. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening to this on and give us a 5-star review.
And once we get that Facebook page up to 500 likes, we're going to select one of you lucky listeners to come on or join us on the podcast. And also, you know, sit down, talk with us, share some of your hunting stories, and talk about whatever you'd like with us. So let's get that up. Right, where are we at on the Facebook page right now? Are we halfway there, over halfway?
Last time I had looked, we were under 100 left to go.
100 left, so get it going, get those spots filled up, and I mean, we'll love to have you guys come join us, especially, you know, with hunting season coming up. It'll be great to talk to you guys about the hunting adventures that you'll be going on this year.